Okay, the conference is officially being recorded.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the new IGO, Access to Curative Rights Protection Mechanisms Working Group on the 8th of October, 2014. On the call today, we have Petter Reinforth, Paul Tattersfield, Jay Chapman, George Kourakos, Phil Corwin, David Maher, Jim Bykoff, Christine Dorain, and Nat Cohen. We have apologies from Oswaldo Nuovo. From staff, we have Steve Chan, Barry Cobb, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Phil.
Yeah, thank you, Terry. And this is Phil. I'm co-chair of the group and chairing today's meeting. And we're between, last week we didn't have a full working group meeting, so we had three separate subgroups doing work and holding calls last week. And next week, on Wednesday, we'll be holding an open session at the ICANN meeting. And for those of you who are not heading to ICANN, they can participate remotely in that session. One thing ICANN's very good is at remote participation in their meetings. So we're going to start with a roll call, and do you do that, Terry?
Yes, I just completed it.
Okay, we're done with that. Any changes to statements of interest? All right, so let's proceed then right into the meat of the meeting, which are the reports from the three subgroups from last week, and I think Petter is going to start. He was leading subgroup A, so he can take us through what they did last week, and then I'll be on subgroup B, and if Mike Rodenbaugh doesn't join the call by then, I'll also review the report from subgroup C, and then we can talk about the meeting next week in L.A. So, Petter?
Thanks. Petter Reinforth here. I think I can be fairly quick to go through this because it seems that we have still more questions than answers. But what we did was we identified three main initial topics to identify differences between the UDRP and the URS, and that was already done with excellence with Christine's presentation, and there's also a chart from that Jim has prepared that what remains there is to make a more summarized presentation that I think could be good to have in our system and in our general presentation of the topics. So that is more or less done. The hard issues are to we had two other topics to collaborate with UDRP URS dispute resolution providers as well as experienced panelists for input and also to obtain representative sample of IGOs and INGOs who have filed UDRP and URS claims. And if we start with the collaboration, we discussed that it may not be proper to ask panelists to specify about why cases may have gone one way or another, or even in a theoretical line of questioning. So we decided to drop that part and instead, actually, which is also quite where you can do some obvious conclusions, to read the decisions as such. And also to get some specific samples from both from National Arbitration Forum and from WIPO on the cases to see what we discussed was not just to go through cases in general, but to identify specified limited but good decisions. And what we found could be most interesting, of course, was the decisions that was where the cancellation or transfer was denied. However, so far we have only seen one such case. So it seems that the cases that have been filed, and then we go to the third topic, is actually INGOs. And from the cases we have studied so far, we can see that they refer to different kinds of name protection or trademark protections. And so far, they have won with one exception, all cases. What we haven't seen is one single IGO case. The questions that remains to see for the full group is that, is it because the IGOs are not filing of jurisdictional issues, or are there other problems, or is it frankly so that there are not so so many cases where these pure name protections are stolen by domain holders? Unfortunately, I think it's not that simple. So what we need to do is to reach out to GAC organizations with assistance, with IGO organizations with assistance from GAC to get inputs and participations, because before we make any conclusions, we need to have those inputs. So, I stop there. This is so far that we come on our meeting and our discussion in the group.
Can I make a couple of observations? It's Jim Bykoff for the record. Hello?
Yeah, I presume you can, yes.
Yeah, that's fine, Jim.
Okay.
If you're not in the chat room, and then George has his hand up. We'll hear from George after you.
Okay. Just expanding on Petter's remarks, I think I've spoken with WIPO, which is something I volunteered to do at our subgroup meeting, and Brian Beckham, who's active in the dispute resolution area at WIPO, told me he's not aware of any case that's ever been filed before WIPO for an IGO, and that's consistent with what Christine said on our call, that she's not aware of any case either. So I think it's pretty clear that probably for jurisdictional reasons, IGOs just don't file under the UDRP or the URS. On the other hand, for INGOs, Petter said he knew of one case where there was a loss, but it's really not a question of a win or a loss. I don't think we care whether a case is won or lost. What we care about is whether a case is brought and accepted by the panel for resolution. If somebody files and they don't have a good case, that doesn't mean that they need access. If they're getting access but they have a bad case, I don't think that's a problem that this PDP should be going into. And I still believe that we can waste a lot of time going out and soliciting INGOs, of which there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, around the world, to find out why they don't file. But the plain fact is that there are plenty of INGOs that are active in ICANN, and they've chosen not to, except for one, join this PDP. I think they need to come to us or else we're going to spend a lot of time trying to figure out something that doesn't really seem to me to be a problem. I don't think there is any access problem for any IGO on the basis of jurisdiction or anything else except possibly financial reasons. And that's my understanding. And I'm not sure why we should spin a lot of wheels trying to go to INGOs and find out things when they seem to have unfettered access to the system.
Thanks for those observations. That was very useful. George, let me call on you, and then Petter also has his hand up.
Yeah, I just want to correct the record. Actually, I agree with the previous speaker that these organizations do have access. I was able to find an IGO that had filed a case, which I posted in the chat room, mainly the World Food Program operated by the UN. And that case got terminated, but it does appear if you use the udrpsearch.com search engine. I just did a quick search for any complainant with the word United Nations, and that popped up. It's not clear from that decision whether the names got transferred, but perhaps checking the who is would give some insight as to what the outcome of that case was. Presumably the names were just transferred over. Actually, the names are deleted, so perhaps the, you know, people decided not to fight over the domain.
Okay, and Petter.
Well, just a note on, I don't think we can actually just sit and wait for them to come to us for formal reasons. If we do so, we will definitely get some negative inputs afterwards, say, you didn't try to reach out and get replies from specific groups. Another issue is, of course, if we reach out and we have no replies, then it's up to them. But in some way, we need to at least make some tries to get specific inputs on in an active way. Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to launch into can we get the subgroup B report up on the Adobe? And I'm going to get into that. And before I do so, as I get into on our subgroup, we discussed this Ingo situation last week, and based on the fact that there's over 3,000 on the general list, that many are descriptive and couldn't even get a trademark probably if they wanted to, but many could. There's no jurisdiction issue, and the GAC has asked us to focus on curative rights for IGOs, but not for INGOs other than Red Cross and the Olympic Committee. So it's up to the full group, but we may well decide that INGOs have adequate access to the UDRP now. And of course, the UDRP is a low-cost alternative to litigation. It's the same price for them as for any other complainant, and it's not a huge amount of money. So we may wind up in this working group focusing primarily on the IGOs. Let me get into the okay, subgroup B, we had a good call last week. We went about the full hour. We found that there are 192 IGOs on the list provided to ICANN by the GAC, and that's the universe of IGOs that the original working group recommended certain protections for last year. On the INGOs, we found that there was 140 on the general consultative ECOSOC list. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that acronym right, but I'm doing my best. But over 3,000 more on the special consultative list. And that's I just noted that there's a very much larger universe of INGOs potentially to deal with. We haven't found any reason they can't use the UDRP, so that is noted. There's no sense by reading through all of this because you're seeing the same thing I'm seeing. For IGOs, the issue of appropriate protection for their acronyms, other than through post-registration curative rights dispute resolution, remains unresolved, but there's still some issues being worked out from the last working group. And we won't know the full extent of protection until the GNS GAC resolve the trademark clearinghouse question, and we can plug that in as it becomes available. As noted, the GAC hasn't issued any advice or requested any protection for any INGO except Red Cross and the International Olympic Committee, very well represented on this working group by Jim Bykoff and others from his law firm, and we're certainly continuing to look at those two organizations. There's this jurisdictional issue. Some people on the call raised the issue of whether that really is an issue. In other words, the jurisdiction issue may protect an IGO from being sued in a national court, but all these organizations, including the UN, enter into various types of contracts for services and other things, all of which have a choice of law. So they're not completely immune from being involved in legal arrangements which can involve national courts. So we're going to continue to look at that. Some IGOs have trademarks, but not all of them. For the INGOs, the main issue seems to be that using the UDRP or URS requires a trademark or similar rights, and we're not sure if all of them do, though probably the majority do or could have them if they wanted to have them, but we don't have records on that. We found some jurisdictions that provide protection for IGO identifiers. So the subgroup noted that the working group should discuss whether or not INGOs should be dropped from consideration. I don't know if we should do that today, given the limited participation in the call, or maybe get into that next week at the open session, where hopefully maybe we'll have some INGO representatives in the audience. And we also noted that while the charter for the working group limited to us to the GAC list of IGOs, and we should bear in mind that those lists can change over time. So we got to make sure that anything we wind up recommending will work if there's additions or deletions to the list. On future action items, we need some trademark searching, and staff is going to help facilitate this to the extent possible. We need some further review of Article 6 ter. To see if all 192 IGOs on the GAC list have registered for protection under it. And then there are staff suggestions. I'm not sure. Barry, can you? What's a GCO? I'm not sure what that refers to. It says we will approach our colleagues in the GCO, but I'm not clear on what GCO is.
I feel this is Steve. That stands for General Counsel's Office.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. I thought I knew every ICANN acronym there was. Staff, policy staff will seek some assistance from the General Counsel staff. We might do some other searches meanwhile, and then we can discuss looking at the full IGO list or perhaps a representative sample to do a compilation of each mission and geographic presence, and that would be looking toward if we do decide that anything new in the way of a curative rights procedure is to be created, it would have to be in some ways analogous to the trademark system. In other words, where is the entity located, and where does the trademark exist? What goods and services are there trademarks for? Similarly, we might have to do something similar if we decide to go down the route of creating something in the way of a new DRP to figuring out how to decide when there is some infringement of whatever rights, quote-unquote, the IGO has or not. So, and that's where we are. So you can see a great deal of work was done by Subgroup B last week, but much work remains to be done and many questions are outstanding. Do we have any comments on that before we go to C? Well, I see no hands raised, so why don't we put the report from Subgroup C up, and I believe that, let's just wait for that. Okay, well, it's unfortunate Mike Rodenbaugh is not on the call, because I believe Mike was heading up this group, and a rather dense legalistic report that I haven't fully assimilated yet, but it does address what did the second WIPO process recommend as a basis for legal protection in terms of the basis, the evidence of harm, options and recommendations. What did the WIPO General Assembly adopt? What did the Joint Working Group recommend in 2004? Then there was another report in 2007. You can see this is a long and legally dense report. And good, we have an email from Mike. Let's go through that. That's toward the end to kind of summarize their work last week. Their focus was identifying circumstances that may have changed the need for and the scope of protections for IGO and or INGO identifiers since the GNSO last worked on this 7 years ago. We now know the scale and scope of the new TLD program, which might cause increased concern among IGOs and INGOs. The GAC has requested additional protections for IGOs in the new TLD program. The GNSO has recommended made recommendations for IGO acronyms that differ from the GAC advice, and that's kind of why this group exists. And new RPMs in the form of the Trademark Clearinghouse and Uniform Rapid Suspension have been added for the new TLD program. And so in the next phase of their work, Subgroup C is going to suggest that the full working group consider these identified change circumstances along with the data gathered by the other subgroups to discuss whether there's a demonstrated need to update the GNSO's 2007 work. So we thank Mike and Subgroup C for that report. Are there any comments or questions about it? I hear none, and I see no raised hands. So let's then go into a discussion of the suggested framework for our open public meeting during ICANN next Wednesday on October 15th, which I, as noted in the right-hand column here, that face-to-face meeting will take place from 10 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. Pacific time in the Encino Room at the Conference Center at the venue. The suggested agenda from staff is to open with the usual roll call of working group members and seeing whether there's any SOI updates. I'm going to share the chairing of this with Petter. We're going to recap the working group objectives and the specific charter questions we're attempting to deal with, and Petter is going to present the subgroup research and findings to date to the assembled community there. We're going to discuss those research and findings and then discuss next steps for the working group. I've also, Petter and I have been having discussions with staff about, and Petter is going to take the lead through the GNSO Council, with the IGOs of reaching out through to the GAC and through them to the IGOs to remind them that we are very seriously at work in response to their request. We're somewhat disappointed that we have no IGO or GAC participation in this working group. We don't want a situation where we come out with a final report and recommendations and the GAC then, or some IGOs then say, well, you didn't consider our point of view, when in fact they took no steps to assert their point of view as we develop that report and recommendations. So we're going to be proactive on that front, and if we can't force them to participate, but we are going to take proactive steps to encourage their active participation, and we want to be able to say we took those steps regardless of their reaction. So does anyone have, and George just put his hand up, so George, let's hear your comment.
Hi, George Krikos speaking. Do we have any access to the conversations between IGOs and the GAC? Because obviously the GAC has been reacting to words said to them by IGOs and INGOs. Like, do we have any ability to say, you know, can you forward us that the materials and input that you do have? Like, they're basically making position statements in the GAC, and you know, if we had the same access to data that they did, that would perhaps help inform our working group.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question, George. I do know that many of the GAC sessions at ICANN are closed door meetings. So the public's not allowed in. So if they took place in those closed meetings or those discussions, or if they took place through email correspondence that we don't have access to, we wouldn't know. But I see Petter's hand up. Perhaps he can enlighten us on this.
Thanks. I'm not sure I can give a clear, right answer, but it may be easy to take that question through the GNSO Council that can, from the council point, ask GAC about that information. So I can do that during the weekend session.
Yes, and that reminds me, Petter, for anyone who will be in L.A. On Saturday morning or who wants to remotely participate, Petter and I will be giving a report on the activities of our working group to the full GNSO Council at 9:15 to 9:30 a.m. Pacific time on Saturday, October 11th. So our first ability to ask for GNSO Council assistance in some of these matters and to get any reaction from them to our work, which, of course, stems from a disagreement between the Council and the GAC on the last working group's work. That'll take place early Saturday morning in L.A. Okay. So are there any further comments? Anyone think that we need to add anything to that agenda for the public session next Wednesday, or have any other thoughts about what we've discussed today? Okay, I'm not hearing any. I'm not seeing. Oh, George again. Yes, George. I see your hand raised.
Sorry, I was muted. George Krikos speaking. There was a prior working group before this one, which had some participation of IGOs and INGOs. If that email list is still active, perhaps a note could be sent to them so that, you know, inviting them to participate in this one, just to enhance the outreach that we've to make.
That's a good suggestion, George. Can staff help us identify whether there was IGO or INGO participation in the last working group? And at least maybe if there was, we could reach out to those entities and encourage them to get involved with our group.
Phil, it's Jim Bykoff. There was IGO participation. There were several IGOs that participated. And, in fact, there was a letter from a whole group of them putting forth their case during the last session. From what I've heard, I'm not going to mention any names, but there are IGOs that know that this group is meeting, but they do not want to participate.
Do you have any
I would be asking you to speculate,
but do you have any notion of why they would actively boycott participation?
I don't think it's a boycott. I think there's a general feeling that they've stated their case, and I think they're probably depending on the GAC to fight their case for them.
Okay. Staff, is that a letter from the IGOs? Is that available at our wiki? Or if not, can it be circulated to members of this working group? I don't think I've seen it. I'd like to review what their case was to the last working group. Any response there? Or maybe, I know we're working without Mary on this call. She probably has a lot of this in her head, but she's traveling to L.A. right now. Yes, Barry, see your hand up. Barry, did you have something to add here? I see your hand up and the mic symbol, but I'm not hearing anything.
Sorry, Phil, I was on mute. We'll take that action. I'm not sure that I've seen that letter either, but we'll take it forward, and once we figure it out, we'll...
All right. Well, maybe, I think Mary is going to be in L.A. by this afternoon. Maybe ask her, and if you can get access to that letter, I'd suggest just circulate it to the whole working group so we can see it by the time we get to L.A.
Phil, Jim Bykoff, I'll take a look. I may have a copy of it. I can't guarantee it, but it came somewhere in the middle of our last PDP. I'll see if I still have a copy, and then I can circulate it if I find it.
Yeah, that would be great, Jim. And while you may be correct that they've decided not to participate, I still think this group needs to proactively reach out and encourage them to participate. They're, of course, free to decide not to, but I think we want to create a record. It seems to me foolish if we do decide to, in some way, create a new DRP to be used by IGOs, and we're a long way from that decision right now. I can't understand why they wouldn't want to have input into that, unless they're just...
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but even more interesting is the fact that we have one INGO who's participating in this group but has not been active except, I think, for the first formation meeting.
Yeah,
the woman
well,
from the International Standards Organization.
Right, right.
So, I mean, I think there's, to me, I mean, that says there's sort of a lack of maybe interest, maybe participation, definitely participation. And, if the folks that we're trying to solve the problem for don't want to tell us what the problem is, I mean, this is it could be we're spending an awful lot of time spinning wheels when nobody's going to come forward and try to help straighten out what the issues are.
I couldn't disagree with that viewpoint. But let's not make any final conclusions yet. Let's see what kind of conversations we can have in L.A. I think maybe we can clarify some things when we're all physically face-to-face in the same location.
That sounds good.
Any further discussion? I don't see any need to prolong this call and go the full hour if we've accomplished our goal for today, and we're basically setting the stage for a full meeting in L.A. next week. Well, I'm not hearing anyone who believes we need to discuss anything else right now. We've reviewed the work of the subgroups. We've reviewed the draft agenda for the face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles 1 week for today. We've reminded everyone that Petter and I will be presenting to the GNSO Council at 9:15 Pacific time on Saturday. And unless there's anything else, I'm going to draw the call to a close and wish everyone coming to ICANN safe travel. We look forward to seeing working groups members there and to continuing our work in Los Angeles next week. So I think we'll end the call at this point and stop the recording. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
goodbye.
You.
Thanks.
Safe bye-bye. Travel, all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sorry, if you can please stop the recording. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Have a great rest of your day. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines.